Welcome to You Are What You Love, your window into the future of spirituality. We're going to talk to you about your life and the evolution of your soul while we bring alive the essence of eternal truth. So here is your host, the author of You Are What You Love, Vaishali.
And welcome to another exciting adventure of You Are What You Love. And I'm Vaishali, the wild child of the airwaves, your spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess. As you know, I'm the author of the book, You Are What You Love. And I'm so excited to share with you my latest release, which is Wisdom Rising. And you can learn more about my books by going to the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land. And that would be at purple, because I got a thing for that color. Purple V, V is in violet, V is in Vaishali. PurpleV.com. And you can learn more about my books there. You can order my books there, or you can go to Amazon.com, and you can order any of my books. I also want to let you know I am live online in the most beautiful purple chat room in all of internet land. And to join me here, you can go to Purple V. V is in violet, PurpleV.com. Click on VChat in the lower right-hand corner and join us. We've got a fabulous group of some wild individuals already congregating in the purple chat room. Also want to let you know that I'm going to be opening up the phone lines this evening. If you have a question about anything that has to do with the inner world of spirituality, you want to know more about your life purpose, more about how to understand the meaning of your value, power, and worth, then feel free to call in and talk to the wild woman today. The toll-free number here in the studio is 877-230-3062. Again, the hotline to the wild woman here is 877-230-3062. And in celebration of my newly released book, Wisdom Rising, I want to offer a free copy of my new book, Wisdom Rising, to anyone who wants to call in and chat with the wild woman this evening. So again, to get your free copy of Wisdom Rising and to ask me a question about something that is troubling you, something that you've been vexed by, something that you've always wanted to explore a deeper meaning of, this is a time, this is a number, 877-230-3062. Also want to let you know that if you're listening to the show and you are in the Philadelphia area, I'm rocking and rolling your way. I'm going to be at the Philadelphia Mind, Body, Spirit Expo 24th, 25th, and 26th of this month of October. I am going to be giving a free lecture on Sunday, the 26th of October, and immediately following that, I've got a paid workshop, and the paid workshop is The Fine Art of How Not to Take Life Personally. And if this sounds like it is something that meets a need in your life and you would like to attend that workshop, feel free to email me, V as in violet, V at purplev.com, and I will get back to you with how you can pre-register for that event. I also want to, in addition to reminding you to come into purplev.com to join us in the chat room, if you come to purplev.com, you can click on Vaishali's favorite links. And I've got a number of exciting things there. We've got the YouTube link that will take you to some fabulous videos. I've got videos on purplev.com, the multimedia room. But if you go to Vaishali's favorite links on the YouTube connection there, you can come up with the Longinus trailer. It is about 90 seconds, so it's a whole minute and a half of your life, but it is the most astoundingly beautiful flash animation trailer for the book Longinus, Book 1 of the Merlin Factor. And I want to encourage you to, if you're a fan of animation or you're simply a fan of looking at something beautiful, to go to Vaishali's favorite links and click on the YouTube trailer. I also want to let you know that if you are listening to this from the Los Angeles area, the wild woman is headed your way. I'm going to be at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore on Sunday, November 16th. I'll be there starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'll be giving a free talk, and there will be immediately following that a book signing. And I will also have as my guest there author Stephen Maines, the author of Longinus, Book 1 of The Merlin Factor, and Mirrodin, Book 2 of The Merlin Factor. So you are welcome to come see both of us. Actually, Stephen and I will both be in Philadelphia at the end of October, the 24th, 25th, and 26th. And you're welcome to see us both in Los Angeles, actually specifically West Hollywood, at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore on Sunday, November 16th. And again, none of this is meant to be a memory test. All you have to do is go to Purple V, V as in Violet, purplev.com. And you can click on events on the website, and that'll bring up a calendar that gives you a month at a glance. And it will tell you all of the different radio shows that I do, the different guests that I'll have on those radio shows, guest appearances on radio, television, book signing, and public appearances. So all you need to remember is Purple V, V as in Violet, V as in Wishali, purplev.com. It is your one-stop shopping for all that is Wishali, all that is purple, all that is outrageous. Because, well, somebody's got to be outrageously blessed, and I'm happy to make that my official job. So I'm actually calling you from a remote location. I'm traveling from my usual home studio base, and I'm actually in Florida, in Safety Harbor, Florida, which is about 2.5 hours by car north of my usual home studio office in Naples. And I'm here for a retreat. It's a very interesting retreat. And what I like to do when I travel is I like to see what paranormal activity is in the air. Because ghosts are everywhere. Contrary to popular opinion, they don't just happen to be in cemeteries. As a matter of fact, there's not really a lot going on in cemeteries. Ghosts are social like any other human being with or without a body, and they have a tendency to go where people are going. So I came here to do this retreat, and I got a hold of my most favorite psychic medium in all of the known and unknown universe, and that would be the fabulous Empress Julia K. Cole. And you can learn more about Julia K. Cole by going to her website, which would conveniently be JuliaKCole.com. And I called her and said, "Girlfriend, I'm here in Safety Harbor, Florida, and I get the feeling we've got some paranormal activity." And called her up and asked her to tell me, as they say in the military, to confirm or deny paranormal experience. And I see that the fabulous Julia K. Cole is in the chat room. So let's see if we can twist her arm into calling in and talking about our interesting activities of the day. I got to tell you, one of the things I like about Julia is she's a remarkably open-minded woman. And when she finds a spirit that is particularly good-looking, whether they have a body or they don't have a body, she always enjoys that view. It's actually a little story that when Julia calls in, I'll share that little back story to that. But one of the interesting things about paranormal experiences is that most people don't really realize how common the presence of ghosts are in our world. And that's one of the things that I love about hanging out with people like Julia, is that what they're able to do is bring the paranormal that's existing, coinciding with our normal experience, into plain view. And while we're waiting for Julia to call in, one of the things that I wanted to share with you is I've had a lot of calls and questions and emails about people that wanted to know about the financial situation that the country is going in. I see that Julia's online. Why don't we bring Julia on and we'll introduce Julia into this conversation. Empress!
Yes.
Hey, wild woman.
How do?
Before I get into this whole thing about, you know, our paranormal romping, a lot of people have been calling in, asking, emailing about what is the spiritual meaning behind our whole economic volatile conundrum. Is there a way to spiritually interpret this?
Well, of course it is. Anything that's taking place on the outside world out here, you know, in the physical, has a spiritual meaning behind it. And when you look at all the greed in the world, and you look at, you know, the people just always working from a place of fear, there's, you know, always, there's never enough. You know, how many people, you know, have said to themselves, even, you know, just in passing, I just can't afford it, or it costs too much. This is coming from a place of fear, because we live in abundance. We are abundance. We are abundant, okay? There's no such thing as not enough. But the mindset of the majority is that there's never enough. So when you get all this energy, congealing and building up, what happens? They self-prophesize, they self-fulfill their prophecy. But the thing of it is, it's only an illusion, okay? This is to show the world what greed does, and people are seeing it now. And I was very pleased to hear, because I'm a conservative talk show junkie, and I listen to the several different conservative talk shows throughout the week. And I was very pleased to hear how people are standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to be afraid. You know, let Wall Street fall. Let it, you know, let them pass the bill or not pass the bill, but they're not going to make me afraid. And that really made my heart jump for joy, because this is what it's teaching us, not to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Remember, one of our finer presidents, President Roosevelt, famous speech, there's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right.
And that's what everybody's calling for. Everybody's saying, you know, okay, we saw what our fear can do for us. So the spiritual aspect is, look at what your fear has done. It has showed you what could be. If you let it, you're in control. It showed the world that, yes, you're in control. Either way, you're in control. And now people are saying, okay, let's see what we can do about it. You notice there wasn't a real panic. You know, this could have been a lot worse. But people took a step back and said, well, wait a minute. You know, a lot of people finally realized there is enough money. There is enough money to go around, because people are still saying, oh, you know, what are we going to do about this and what are we going to do about that? It doesn't matter, because spiritual law dictates we are abundant, okay? No matter what it is, money, food, whatever. We will never, even during the Great Depression, people, you know, people got by.
Right.
Okay? We got out of it. And, you know, a lot of us have suffered, you know, I won't say suffer, because let me rephrase that, because I don't like the word suffer. I don't like that word, because that denotes victimhood, and we're not, there's no victims here. We experienced, many of us have experienced what it's like to be homeless. Many of us have experienced what it's like not to have money to go and buy food. But, and I'm one of them. I've been homeless. I've been, you know, not even two pennies to rub together. But I promise you, folks, I did not go hungry, nor did my children. And we did have a roof over our head. It wasn't our, you know, our house to call our own, but it was a roof over our head and a nice clean bed to put our head, you know, lay down on. There was something, you know, in other words, we were given what we needed.
You were provided for.
We were provided for. And, it, and during that time with Shelley, it taught me a lesson about my own fears, because that was one of my greatest fears, of being put out on the street.
Right. I think that's most people.
And
most people's fear.
When we are afraid of something, and when we put so much energy in that fear, it will manifest itself. So we learned our lesson.
And we know why that is, because of the spiritual law, you are what you love.
Exactly.
And you love whatever you give your attention to. And if you're giving your attention to worrying about not having enough money, because you are what you love and you love whatever you give your attention to, then you love being in lack. You love a state of scarcity. You love identifying with the state of being unsupported, abandoned, and in crisis. And as long as you love that, that is something you're going to find yourself binding to. You know, when I was looking at this intuitively, you and I know that there's been a whole big conversation about the whole 2012 thing.
Oh,
and the whole idea behind 2012 is that every 26,000 years, and this has nothing to do with anything woo-woo or kind of new agey. This is an actual astrological scientific event that every 26,000 years, the Earth makes a rotation through the galaxy, and it finds itself at a midway point in the Milky Way. And it takes 26,000 years for the Earth to make this rotation, in the same way that we understand that once every 365 days, the Earth makes a full rotation around the Sun. And that in that time, when we make this full rotation, that we move through each one of the 12 zodiac signs. That there's that, you know, people who are born in January have Aquarius, people who were born in May are Taurus, people who are born in June are Gemini, and July are Cancer, and that in the course of the year we make that trip through the 12 zodiac signs. Well, every 26,000 years we make a similar rotation, but it's not around the Sun, it's around this, you can think of it like a lap around the track, around the Milky Way, where we come to this midway point. And every 26,000 years, we go through each one of the 12 zodiac ages. Each one of the, what we recognize in a year is a zodiac sign, and a 26,000-year cycle is an age. And each one of these ages is a little over 2,000 years. So in 26,000 years, we go through each one of the 12 zodiac ages, and we come back again. And as the Mayans, being the interesting architects of not only mathematics and language and architecture, but also of time, they came up with a really interesting Mayan calendar. And they were able to figure out from the position of where we shift star position in the sky, what this shift was, what this circular cycle was, this 26,000-year cycle is, rotation is, if you will. And they came up with a calendar that determined that in the winter solstice of 2012, it's actually December 21st, 2012, we will end a 26,000-year cycle, and we'll begin another one. Another way to say that is we're going to end the Piscean Age and begin the Aquarian Age at this time. And the Piscean Age is the power and the privilege and the money going from the hands of the few into the hands of the many. It's a time, the Piscean Age is a time where we had to learn the importance of community and what it means to identify with a greater existence of self, beyond our individual identity and more of a collective identity, to learn the importance of sacrificing your small self for the growth and the prosperity of the larger self. And that's what the Piscean Age is about, and the Aquarian Age is about no longer about sacrifice, but about really enjoying and celebrating the juicy nectarousness that life was intended to be. And so as we're moving from the Piscean Age to the Aquarian Age, as we're ending this 26,000-year cycle, moving to the next 26,000-year cycle, or as I like to refer to it, the cosmic intergalactic odometer is being reset back to zero on December 21st, 2012, so we can start a new 26,000-year cycle. We have to let go of our pettiness. We have to let go of our issues. We have to let go of our identity with scarcity. We have to let go of this story that it isn't going to work out for us. We have to let go of this story that it's going to happen to everybody before it happens to us, and we've got to start owning that we don't have value, power, and worth. We are it. And what really I see happening with our present financial situation is that our stories about powerless are surfacing so we can look at them see them for the lie that they are, resolve them, heal them, and move on. Because we can't move into an age where the power and the privilege and the money comes to us if we're still holding on to the story that we have no power, we have no worth, it won't happen for us. So this is a time for us to do some collective and individual cosmic inner housekeeping, if you will. Is this making any sense, girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And the only way you can, you know, the one thing that Antari has been, you know, constantly reminding me in the last month, actually.
Let her know who our listening audience know who Antari is.
Antari is what many people would refer to as a spirit guide. He and I really don't care for the term guide because, well, let's face it, we're not on a tour, okay? This is, you know, you're not on a bus taking a tour through the Hollywood homes of the stars. You're here to get serious, you know, and to really do your thing because this is the school of hard knocks. This is the hardest school in all of the multiverses. You won't find a harder school. This is a university,
yep.
Actually.
Yep.
This is a school of higher learning. And this is the school of I'm going to kick your rear, you know, from here to eternity until you get, you know, till you get your butt out of, you know, in gear and get your head out of there and start, you know, remembering. And so Antari is, he and I've always been together. He's also what many would call a twin flame soulmate. And he's had one lifetime on planet Earth. He decided that being human was best left to those who are more courageous and more bold. And because he does not, and he didn't enjoy the separation and the heaviness that a three-dimensional body brings. So he and I decided many millennia ago that he would be, you know, the guy that would help me, you know, to remember, and I would be the experiencer of the duo. We're the dynamic duo of the multiverses, and he's a teacher, and he's a lot of things. You know, he's my major pain, but anyway, that's who Antari is, and he's been reminding me, he's been really adamant in the last month about me getting over fear. And he's been reminding me of all the things that I haven't worked through yet. And one of the things he told me and reminded me, he goes, in order to work through your fears, you can't just toss them away and pretend they're not there. You used to be able to do that, say, well, I'll just think about that tomorrow kind of mindset.
Right.
You used to be able to just ignore it and hope it would go away. Now your fears all come in face and say, woohoo, guess what, guess who? I'm here. What are you going to do about it, right? So what you have to do is you have to face your fear. See, fear is not meant to make us afraid of anything. Fear was meant to make us aware of what we needed to work on, not make us afraid of it, but to make us aware of what it is that we need to work on or work through. And also, it was a cautionary mechanism that we put in place. It was never meant to make us afraid. But see, fear, like our ego, we gave our power over to it and we became slaves to it, you see. And now we're coming back around and saying, we're taking my power back. You are the slave and I am the master, okay? And, of course, fear is going to say, well, wait a minute, I've been in charge all this long. You mean to tell me you're firing me? Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, pal. So he says you have to work through it. You have to face it and say, look, I'm not afraid of you anymore. You can't make me afraid unless I choose it, and I choose not to be afraid anymore.
Right.
I
and choose
you for what you are.
If I choose that I need to learn more from fear, then I'll choose that. But if I've decided I've learned everything I need to from fear, I'll choose something else.
Exactly. And the bottom line is that you are now you have now taken back your power, like you said, taking back your power and saying, I choose when to be scared out of my mind. Not you, but me. You can show me, yeah, okay, Julia, you're afraid of crossing the street during, you know, high traffic. Okay, that's a good thing because I need to be cautious. But I'm not going to be standing there, you know, terrified to ever cross the street because fear said I had to be. No, right. I'll take right. that information and say, thank you, fear. Now, bug off. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, Antar keeps reminding me. So he keeps bringing back the issues that I haven't completely worked through yet to remind me to test my skills at how, you know, adept I've become, you know, facing them and working through them. Because a lot of fear issues have, you know, resurfaced after many years I thought I'd done, you know, forgot about them. Here they come all over again.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, this whole idea about unresolved issues. I want to remind our listening audience that you're listening to You Are What You Love. And I'm Rishali, the wild child of the airwaves, the author of You Are What You Love and the newly released Wisdom Rising. And you can order my books by going to Amazon.com. You can go into any Barnes & Noble or Borders bookstore and demand that they give you a book by the wild woman, Rishali. And I'm sure if they don't have it on the bookshelf, they would be happy to order that to you. I'm talking today to one of my most favoriteest people on the planet. It is the incredibly gifted psychic medium, Julia K. Cole. And you're invited to go to her website, juliakcole.com. She is also an internet radio show hostess in her own right. And her website for her radio show is Namaste Beloved, N-A-M-A-S-T-E, beloved.com. And we're talking about fear. We're talking about 2012. We're talking about growing beyond what limitation finds you in this life, because that's the point of our divinity, is to grow beyond limitation. And it's, you know, it's really interesting that this started funneling its way into the direction it did. Oh, I also want to remind our listening audience that if you have a question that you would like to ask, or you just want to contribute to the conversation going on with Julia K. Cole and myself, you're welcome to call in to the studio. And the toll-free number here to the studio is 877-230-3062. Again, the toll-free number to talk to the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe, Julia K. Cole, and myself, is 877-230-3062. You're also welcome to come in and join us live online in the chat room. We are on my website, which is purplev.com. And you would click on VChat in the lower right-hand corner and come in and join a very lively crowd here while we're kicking around all things that we're here to grow beyond. And while we're talking, Julia, about the idea about things we're here to grow beyond, it's really interesting. Last week, a question came in, and I only had a few minutes to address it, about how do you deal with family members that are inappropriately critical, or maybe they're well-intentioned, well-meaning, but they have a tendency to say things that are alienating and things that are hurtful and things that are actually damaging to the relationship. How do you deal with those things? And, you know, it was really interesting because when I was considering this whole topic about our financial situation collectively as a country in America, what's going on here financially, even though plenty of other people in other countries would say, get over it, you still have the greatest quality of life ever, get over it. One of the things that was coming to me is that the planet Earth is the place where the things that we need to grow beyond show up. And one of the reasons that we would agree to coming here and taking a body, a spiritual creature, choosing to have a human experience, why would a spiritual creature who is beyond survival, beyond paying rent, beyond 401ks, why would they come here and take a human experience where they got to get a Social Security number, where they got to pay taxes, where they've got to find some way to make ends meet in a physical, three-dimensional way, a practical way, paying their rent, getting gas, sending their kids to school? Why would a spiritual creature choose to come to the planet Earth? What's in it for them to come here? And the advantage to coming here is it the things that we need to grow beyond show up here? Anything that you need to grow beyond is going to show up. It's going to get in your face. It's going to be riding right on top of your nervous system. It's going to be presenting itself in a way where there's not going to be any ambiguity about what it is that you need to grow beyond. Because in a purely spiritual existence, that doesn't happen. You don't get clarity about what you need to grow beyond. But when you come and take a human experience, what you need to grow beyond is up close, personal, and in your face. Because when you can see what you need to grow beyond, you can identify it, and you can choose where you want to grow beyond that. But if you don't know where you need to grow beyond something, if there's a limitation that's got you by the short hairs, but you're not aware of it, you're not conscious of it, growing beyond it, identifying it for the illusion that it is, becomes an exponentially more challenging event. So why having a human experience is so advanced is that this is a place where there's no way you can miss it. This is a place where if there's something you need to grow beyond, it's going to find your charming derriere. It's going to give you a fiberglass saltwater alcohol enema. It's going to make its presence known, and it's going to give you a clear and present opportunity to recognize what the limitation is and grow beyond that. So one of the things that I find interesting about our financial situation collectively is that it's providing the same opportunity for us to identify where we're identifying with lack, scarcity, and powerless, and choose something else.
Absolutely. Because this is the only place, in the multiverse, where you're going to find, this kind of education. Because a lot of people ask, well, why would I choose something like this for myself? Well, think about if you just graduated from college. You've got all these wonderful degrees. You just studied really hard, to become a rocket scientist, to build rockets, to build spaceships, to go where no one has boldly gone before, kind of thing, right?
Right, girlfriend,
and
right.
And all you have is book knowledge, but you have no hands-on experience.
Right.
Now, how in the world do you think you're going to get by being a college graduate, with degrees, and you graduated with honors, you're fresh out of school? What good is your knowledge if you have no experience to back it up?
This is right. We came here for experiential knowledge. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. So when you go out and get a job, to build spacecraft, but you learn through your experience that there's some things that the books didn't teach you. There's some things that your professors failed to teach you or didn't even know themselves, because they knew that you had to learn through experience what worked and what didn't. And what didn't work kept coming up over and over again, because for whatever reason you kept doing the same thing over and over again and wonder, why isn't it working? Well, stop doing the same thing in the same way day after day. Try something different on occasion.
Right. Why is it that I'm investing in fear over and over again, but I'm expecting something other than a fear response?
Exactly. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing in the same way day after day after day and expecting different results each time. So that's why you come down here. You come down here because you got your degrees, you got your knowledge, and you got to get some hands-on experience. And it's like what Shelly said. It's the only place that will keep knocking you up, and saying, hey, look, pal. It's in your face. You keep doing it the wrong, try something different, okay? Because if you don't, I'm going to get back up in your face again, okay? If you're afraid of this, I'm going to get back up in your face. And it will jump up in your face. So I challenge everyone who's listening to this show, if you're doing something, in the same way, if you're in fear, try something different. Try not being afraid for one day. Try something different. Don't be afraid for one day.
Right. Understand that there are two emotions on the planet, fear and love. And you get to decide which teacher you want to direct, explain, and explore life through. You get to decide if you want to sign up for the fear teacher or if you want to sign up for the love teacher. And it's very clear how you do that. Because of the spiritual law, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. If you insist on giving your attention to scarcity, lack, powerless, you get to choose from the fear teacher. And one of the things, you know, you and I have talked a lot about is this understanding that we don't have divine love and wisdom. We are divine love and wisdom. And when you decide to identify with trusting in your divinity and trusting that you cannot create a learning experience you don't need and trusting that everything is working for you, you get to sign up for the love teacher. And I got to tell you, sweetheart, I'm getting a text message here from somebody that says, I like the scholastic topic. I just want to know what kind of career I should be pursuing. I'm bored with business administration major. And this comes from somebody who is identifying themselves as Mark. And the first thing that I want to say is that, Mark, you've been exploring the business administrator major. That's where you've been putting your attention. It's kind of like saying, I've got the business administrator seeds, and I'm going to go out to my business administrator field, and I'm going to plant these seeds, and I'm going to water them with the business administrator water, and I'm going to expect something different than business administrator to grow from that field, from that seed, with this water. Is there something else that inspires you? Is there something else that you value? Is there something else that you see the business administrator major has laid a foundation for you that gives you a one-upmanship, a leg up, an advanced preview of something else, a fundamental foundation into something else that you value? So let me put that out there for you to just kind of consider that. And I'm going to go ahead and kind of kick that over to the Empress if there's anything you wanted to respond to with Mark on that one, honey.
Well, as soon as I heard, you know, the message, the first thing I heard in my head was Mark needs to shake it up a little bit. Okay?
Mark needs to shake it up, right? That's what I'm saying too, right?
Yeah, just shake it up. I mean, really shake it up, Mark. Okay, so you've got your 9 to 5, right? Let's assume he's got his 9 to 5. Okay. Well, what are you doing, you know, with your nightlife? What are you doing on the weekends, my friend? Let's shake it up a little bit. Do something that brings you joy, something that you can do with your hands, floral arrangement or something to do with plants, grow plants and, you know, sell them, you know, dress them up real nice, something creative, something that makes you really happy, and do it, you know, part-time. And you can start by, you know, having little get-togethers with your friends and families because they're always good, you know, for those kind of things and hit them up. You know, it's like a Tupperware party almost. And shake it up a little bit. Have a lingerie party, you know. Do something that makes you happy during your off time, okay? Stop focusing on the humdrum, how boring my life is attitude. And get out there and work your mojo, boyfriend. Come on.
Because, stop focusing on what you don't have.
Exactly, because, you know, this whole business about Wall Street and everything, oh, forget about Wall Street, okay? The bull and the bear are going to be duking it out until the end of time, because that's what they do, that's their reality. You don't have to be a part of it, because even in the Depression, people were making money. Not a whole lot, but they were still making money. Okay, so don't let that fear thing shadow over you. Get out there and shake it up a little bit. You know, if you're into baking, get out there and, you know, there was a lady who started, you know, baking these wonderful cookies. Now she's a multimillionaire business, you know, makes some of the best chocolate chip cookies in the whole free world, right? Whatever makes your heart sing, take it and use it on your off time to focus on what makes you happy. That way, when you go back to your 9-to-5 job, you're actually looking forward to it because you got something on the side that takes away your focus on how boring and how mundane and everything. And I hope he's following us on this one, because you don't have to give up your 9-to-5 job, ladies and gentlemen, in order to do something that makes your heart sing. and actually make a little money on the side. Okay? And
this
you need
is-
to start out small. Think small. You know, think big, but work small. It's that whole thing, you know, think globally, but act locally kind of thing.
Yes. This is one of the things that I make a big deal about in my book, You Are What You Love, is that we are very adept at what we practice. And if Mark has been practicing business administrative major, that's what he's got his momentum behind. We're good at what we practice. If you practice something but expect yourself to have some kind of adept skill in something else that you don't give any time to, you don't give any practice to, it's not likely it's going to happen. You know, one of the things that I ask people is look back on the first time that you tried to make a souffle or you tried to bake a cake. How well did that come out? The more that you practiced it, the better it came out. How successful was your first sewing adventure? Or do you look back on it and see that there were many marks of experience? The more you practice something, the better that you are at it. And even if all you're doing is practicing at being flexible, practicing at being open to other skills, open to other creative skills, open to other forms of expression, the more you practice something, the better you get at it. And if one is taking tunnel vision and practicing all their energy in that tunnel vision and then expecting some kind of miraculous skill and ability to emerge that's outside of that tunnel vision, it's like my favorite expression, never underestimate the power of denial. It's not really that likely. I want to let you know, sweetheart, that I got a text message back from our caller that says, that he's listening to this answer. He's finding great value in it. He says, I want the Empress to know she is right on the money. Sometimes I do focus too much on the boring job that I might end up with. Thanks a lot. So there you go, darling. And, you know, it's really interesting. By the way, I want to take a little segue at this moment to let you know that you're listening to You Are What You Love. I'm Wishali, the wild child of the airwaves. My website is purple, because I got a thing for that color. Purple V, V as in Violet, V as in Wishali, purplev.com. And you can learn more about my books, You Are What You Love and Wisdom Rising. And today I am sharing time with one of my most favorite people on the planet. She is an incredibly gifted psychic medium. She is a internet radio show hostess in her own right. Her name is Julia K. Cole. And you can visit her website at Julia K. Cole. And she has an internet radio show, and you can learn more about that by going to Namaste Beloved, N-A-M-A-S-T-E, beloved.com. She is also an author, and her books are Interview with the Spirit Guide and The Children of the Illuminaries. And I want you to be looking forward to those being released in spring of 2009. And, you know, one of the things I thought would be interesting for us to talk about, Julia, considering our paranormal adventures today, is it's interesting that a lot of the stuff that we see going on with people that have a body, people that have a human experience, people that we would call alive and living right now, that a lot of their issues are the same issues as ghosts have, or earthbound spirits. That it seems that earthbound spirits and people that are alive are very, very similar. The primary difference, obviously, is that ghosts or earthbound spirits don't have a bag of protoplasm. They don't have a physical body to cart around. But what you and I have noticed is that if there's something unresolved in your life, if there's something you've always wanted to try, something you've always wanted to explore, some bitterness, some point of anger that you haven't brought to resolution, that you haven't made a peace within your own life, it doesn't matter if you're dead or you're living, that these same issues that living people have, ghosts have, and that when ghosts have it, that keeps them from moving into the light, that keeps them from moving into their same evolutionary step. But one of the things that you and I have noticed is that if you've practiced allowing limitation to get you by the short hairs, if you've practiced allowing unresolved issues in your life to get momentum, you're probably a good candidate for finding yourself a ghost when you die.
Oh, definitely.
Because this is one of the things I think is fascinating, is that, let's face it, nobody in the course of their day says, wait a minute, I've got to return some business calls, I've got to respond to some emails, and I have to practice becoming a ghost for when I die. That's nothing that people set time aside for to fruitionalize. So how do people become ghosts? How does that happen? If it's nothing that we practice, it's nothing we plan for, it's nothing that any of us set aside to make sure that that becomes a reality, how does that get put into motion?
Well, because while we're here on planet Earth, we get so distracted sometimes, and we are many of us live with regret every day of our life, okay? We're always living with if only or what if, okay? What if I, you know, did this, or only if I could have done that? And we're always living in a place where we are so wrapped up in our own little world and fear. Especially fear is the number one cause of earthbound activity. And they're afraid, you know, of one thing or the other. But a lot of them that I come across over the years is because they regret. You know, they wish they could have done more. They wish they had have done this. And they didn't realize that, you know, how it was going to be. They never realized, they never stopped to think of their afterlife. No one really stops to think of their afterlife, okay?
They think,
well, if I'm dead, you know, I'll go straight into the light. They don't think about all the regrets that they're carrying around, all the burdens, you know, because I ran into an earthbound spirit who had been a successful businessman, and he was filled with so much regret that he didn't spend more time with his kids, and that's what held him back, because he felt so remorseful. You know, he goes, why didn't I think about that, Julia? Where was I thinking? I said, you were thinking and focusing on your distraction because you thought it was so important to be afraid of not having enough money, not having a nice enough house, living your identity through material things, and you didn't stop to realize that one day you were not going to ever be here again, and the regret that you're going to be carrying with you. And that's one thing I want to impress upon people. Don't go a day without expressing your gratitude.
Right.
Don't go a day without saying, I appreciate you being in my life, or just stopping and just giving thanks, because it does have an impact on you when you die, because the less regret you have, the better your chances are that you're going to jump out of your body and hit the floor running into that light and go, woohoo, you know, I'm free.
Right, right.
Because when you're earthbound, you're stuck with that fear. You're stuck in fear.
And, you know, one of the interesting things is that you and I have discovered is that there are plenty of people that have crossed over, well, that have died, and they have so much unresolved baggage. They have so much unresolved weight. They have so much fear that they didn't use their human experience as an opportunity to resolve and process, that they're stuck in this web of their own limited beliefs, of their own fear, and they're pretty much at the mercy of people like you and I that go out of our way to find these people, to help them negotiate and understand where they're at, that they have a different choice, that there's a different opportunity, to give them, to intervene in the myopic tar pit that they're stuck in, to help them realize that there's another door of opportunity, that there's another invitation, there's another way to be in life, there's another new beginning waiting them. And they're pretty much at the mercy of people like you and I or other people that do the work that we do to come by and offer them a way to resolve this. And that is, seems to me that that's not really the most spiritually savvy way to go through life. And I'm really grateful for the work that you and I do. I can't tell you how meaningful the work that you and I do is when I go to bed and know that you and I have helped some people that were stuck out there for 100+ years cross over and get into the light and move on to their next phase of existence. I can tell you how meaningful that is. And so what I wanted to kind of put out there, we've got like about 3 or so minutes left, is for people out there that have never considered this perspective, because you and I have been in the trenches. You and I have gone face to face with these people that are stuck in an earthbound reality because they were so fear-riddled. They had such a low level of self-esteem that they couldn't give themselves permission to move to the next evolutionary step. In the like 3 minutes or so that we have, what would you like to say to people to give them an opportunity to kind of reevaluate their choices, why they're alive, why they have the opportunity, and why they have the free will to do that?
Well, take the, like I said earlier, always take the opportunity. I'm going to borrow this line from another famous psychic, and you'll know who I'm talking about if you're familiar with him, his work. Every day, you are here to learn, and learning is the process of remembering things you already know. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. So take the time each and every day to communicate and appreciate and validate those in your life, because you never know if today's going to be your last day on Earth. And if it is, you won't need a medium like myself to have to express your appreciation to the ones that you left behind, and you won't have any regrets. Leave this world with no regrets, because what do you have to lose?
Right, what do you have to lose except your regrets?
Yeah.
And I mean, let's face it, that, you know, that's easier to live, to leave behind than foreskin in a circumcision.
But there's nothing to fear. There really isn't. False expectations appearing real. That's what fear stands for.
I love that. False expectation appearing is real. That's the acronym for fear. And I want to remind our listening audience that you have been having the fabulous opportunity to eavesdrop in a conversation between one of my most favorite people on the planet. Her name is Julia K. Cole. Julia, give out all your personal pertinent information in the minute or so we have left.
For a personal one-on-one consultation, you can go to my website, juliakcole.com, and to catch our show, Namaste Beloved, where each and every week we put reality back into spirituality, visit namastebeloved.com.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. And I want to remind you that I've got a Friday show on this station every Friday from 1 to 2 Pacific, 4 to 5 Eastern. And then I'm back again on Saturdays from 5 to 6 Pacific, 8 to 9 Eastern. And I want to thank my fabulous guest, Julia K. Cole, the incredible psychic medium, Julia K. Cole, who never ceases to bring insight, revelation, and great growth opportunities into my life. You are just a great gift to the planet. Thank you, Julia.
And thank you. Namaste.
Namaste, my love. I encourage you to visit her website, Julia K. Cole. You can email me, v@purplev.com. I can pass on any information to you about how to connect with Julia, or if you'd like to get on my email, you're welcome to do so by emailing me at v@purplev.com. And till we do it again next week, rock on, babies.
You've been listening to You Are What You Love with author Waishali. To order Waishali's book, You Are What You Love, or to schedule a private self-emergent session with Waishali, visit youarewhatyoulove.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So love wisely.